Daniel understood from Scripture that the Jewish people would be freed after 70 years. And at that time, when he's praying, the 70 years was close at hand. He knew that it was coming soon. And even though he knew that and read that and believed that, he still prayed about it. Our prayers are designed to bring us into relationship with God. There's no magic formula that I know of to get exactly what you want when you want it. Even as we talk a little bit later about fasting, fasting is a way to amplify your prayer life for a time, but it's not a golden ticket, so to speak, to get what you want when you want it. Daniel here believes the prophecy, and he now is still praying about the fulfillment of those prophecies as a way to renew his faith and to communicate with God that, yes, I believe these scriptures, and I believe them because of who you are, God, and how you have shown yourself faithful to me through my life. I believe that you're going to be faithful and deliver us after these 70 years. He starts his prayer with a confession in verse 4. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. So let's take a look here. Now Daniel's starting with adoration. He's saying, God the great and awesome. And he talks about his faithfulness, reminding him of who he is and the person that we're praying to, the God that we're praying to him. And then Daniel acknowledges his predicament. He acknowledges that right now they are in exile in Babylon. And the reason that they're in exile is not by some accident. It's because they turned their back on God. God had warned his people over and over and over again that if you turn your back on me, this is going to happen. There will be judgment. There will be consequences for your action. And so these things that the people have done and the reaction of God should not be a surprise to them. God is faithful and God is a God of his word. He is doing exactly what he told them he would do. Yet over and over in Israel's history, we see them turning from God. And at this point, because of God's character as a holy and truthful, trustworthy God, he had to follow through with what he said with that promised judgment. Now Daniel was clear on the holy love and absolute sovereignty of Yahweh. And sovereignty is a big word that just means basically that God is in control of all things. It's not because Yahweh did not care for his people that he allowed them to go down in this utter defeat. And it was not because God could not withstand the Babylonian gods, small g, who were being praised and worshipped by the Babylonians and the people around it. It was because his people, the Israelites, were involved in flagrant sin, in shameless sin, turning their back on God. Every which way you turned, they were turning their back on God. They had become like the pagan nations around them, not holding on to the teachings and not holding on to that relationship with God that they were supposed to have. And so Daniel is confessing that prayer on behalf of the nation, begging God to release them from this 70 years of captivity. And so we continue in verse 7. Lord, you are righteous. But this day we are covered with shame, the men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he has given us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Now we see that the nation as a whole has turned away, but clearly there is a remnant, at least a small remnant, of people who are trying to obey God. And Daniel is one of those leaders of that remnant. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out against us, because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing us upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. So why did this disaster come upon the Israelites? Because they had not sought favor with the Lord their God by turning from their sins and giving attention to the truth. If we are in a place where we are not following God, or we feel that we're distant from God, or we feel that God has ignored us or left us out in the cold, the first thing we need to examine is, are we following God? Are we involved in something sinful that we need to turn away from? What is standing between us and God? Because God is always there. We're the ones that have turned our back on God. Now, in spite of the judgment, the people have not repented of their sins. They're being judged. They're in captivity. And yet even that does not turn the nation as a whole back to God. Clearly some have, like Daniel and his friends, but for the most part, the nation still has turned their back on God. And Daniel affirms here that the just judgment is just and in line with what God had said to them in many, many, many warnings from the prophets. This was not a surprise to people that this is what was going to happen. And again, Daniel demonstrates his knowledge of the scriptures. A courageous Christ follower prays is our title for today. A courageous Christ follower prays. And our prayers need to be grounded in our understanding of Scripture, just as Daniel's prayers here are. Let's pick up in verse 15. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Daniel understands that the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, are God's chosen people. And he continues here to confess the nation's sinfulness, but he also appeals to God to give them forgiveness and to release them from this judgment. And you see here, Daniel is concerned, as he has been throughout his life, about what other people are thinking about God. He is concerned for the image of God. He is concerned that if God's people remain in exile, if they remain desolate and scattered, then the people from surrounding nations will think that God, the true God, the one true God, is somehow lesser than the gods of Babylon and the surrounding nation. So in spite of his present circumstance of being an exile in a foreign land, Daniel is still concerned with letting people know that God is God. He still wants people to see that if they turn to the one true God, there is hope. Even in the midst of his exile and this punishment of a nation, Daniel is still able to see the big picture. And he wants people to know about God. Can we say that about ourselves? Can we say that in spite of our circumstances, we want God to be honored and to be other people to be able to see our lives in such a way that they are not pitying us or thinking less of us, but instead they're focused on God? Do we see that in our lives? Do we see that when people look at us, are they seeing a reflection of God? Or are they just looking at us? If you've looked in the mirror lately, maybe it's not such a pretty picture. It's certainly not as pretty a picture as if we're reflecting God back to those that look at us. That's what Daniel is concerned about. Daniel is concerned about reflecting God and reflecting God's glory and God's truthfulness to those around him. Verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, "Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision." And we're going to stop there. Daniel's prayer, in this case, was answered immediately. As soon as he prayed, God sent an answer and sent Gabriel. And it was because Daniel was faithful. He was highly esteemed. Sometimes when we pray, our prayers are answered instantaneously. How many of you have ever prayed, "God, please help me find my keys"? Yeah, Lizzie raises her hand. Yes. Okay. Sometimes that prayer is answered instantaneously, isn't it? Sometimes it may take an hour, hopefully a day, maybe a day, maybe a week, I don't know. But sometimes our prayers are answered instantaneously. I would say more often, our prayers are not answered instantaneously. But that does not mean that we should give up praying. It means that our answer to prayer is coming. God has promised to answer our prayers, but he will do it in his time and in his own way. Maybe not the way we were expecting, but he will answer our prayers. Let's jump over to chapter 10, verse 1 of chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. So this chapter, chapter 10, as far as the actual chronological timetable of Daniel's life, is the oldest and the latest of Daniel's vision. Daniel was an old man at the point of this vision. He'd think about now all that Daniel had gone through in his life, from that first test, when he was first tested about the food, and then he was tested by the guys who wanted him thrown into the lion's den. He was tested by the visions that he had to continually interpret for the leaders of the nation. And all of the time, we see that he was a man of prayer. He had visions, he had ups, he had downs. But I want you to think about, for a second, Why do you think God gave Daniel visions and the ability to interpret prayer or dreams? Why do you think God gave Daniel that ability? In fact, let's not think about it. Turn to someone near you and answer that question. Why do you think, there's no right or wrong answer, it's an opinion question. Why do you think God gave Daniel visions and the ability to interpret dreams? Anyone want to share what they said or what their partner said? Why do you think? Good, to show them the way of the Lord. To show them the truth amongst all the other gods that were there and they were vying for their attention. Why else? Yep, he knew that if he stayed faithful to the teachings that God was going to protect him in the end. Yeah. For the glory of his God and our God. I think those are all true statements. I also think that at least in part, it was because Daniel was a man of prayer. If you're stuck in life, and I won't ask you to raise your hand if you think you're stuck in life, but if you're stuck in life, whether it be spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever it is, the first place you need to check is your prayer life. How is your prayer life? How is your time with the Lord? Because if you're not spending time in prayer on a daily basis, it's no wonder God's not speaking to you in a way that you can understand. If we don't spend time in prayer, we cut off communication between ourselves and God. And so if you feel stuck, pray. Daniel was connected to God through prayer and through Bible study, and we need to be too. Verse 2 says, "At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over." So this is where we learn about Daniel's 21-day fast. Daniel fasted from meat, from wine, from choice food, and didn't use lotion for 21 days. For 21 days, Daniel set aside his personal needs and went before the Lord and asked the Lord and begged the Lord and pleaded with the Lord to save his people. At this point in his life, a remnant had returned to Jerusalem when he's praying this prayer. But their efforts to rebuild had been halted. And no doubt Daniel had heard that this had happened. And he was coming before the Lord, begging the Lord, begging the Lord to save his people and allow them to survive as a nation. And not only survive as a nation, but be a nation that would lean upon God. He did this by a partial fast and by spending time in extended prayer. And in this case, it wasn't an instantaneous answer. It took 21 days for God to respond. When you think about how long it takes, and you think about how much you want to quit praying for something, think about this. What would have happened if Daniel stopped praying on day 20? He had to pray just one more day to get his answer. What if you're just one more prayer away from God answering your deepest need? Don't give up praying because you think it's hopeless or because you've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and you're not getting an answer, you're not getting an answer, you're not getting an answer. Maybe you're on day 20. Don't give up. And Daniel's answer is in verse 4. On the 24th day of the first month, As I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face was like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Daniel's prayer was answered again, and he was given another vision. But why did God answer Daniel's prayer yet again? Because he had a record of faithfulness in prayer. And it wasn't just because he had a need, and so he decided to pray for that need. We see through Daniel's life that he was a man of prayer. He continually prayed. Even when it ended up himself getting thrown in the lion's den, he still prayed. He was willing to pray and to follow God no matter what the personal cost was, no matter what he was going to lose as a result, whether it be his life in the lion's den, whether it be respect of the king, no matter what it was, Daniel did it. Now, in the next section that we're not going to read, you can read it on your own later. Daniel, that God says that he actually dispatched the angel as soon as Daniel started praying. He sent his angel to give him the answer. But the messenger was held up by the prince of Persia for 21 days. There's a lot of speculation about that, what that means, but what we can take away from that as we talk about prayer is that even though Daniel's prayer in the last chapter was answered instantaneously, sometimes we have to wait for our answer. Sometimes it takes 21 days, or maybe 2 years, or 3 years, maybe 21 years for your answer. But we still have to be faithful. If you've been searching for an answer for your prayer, whatever it is, don't be discouraged. God is not going to leave you high and dry. He's going to answer you in some way. A courageous Christ follower prays. And if you're struggling in your life today, take time to pray. Take time out of each day and have a conversation with your Maker. You may think that your problems are too petty for the God of the universe to take notice of, but that's not how this works. God wants us to bring everything to Him in prayer, no matter how big, no matter how small. No matter how petty you think it might be, bring it to the Lord and pray about it. Prayer builds that relationship between you and God, and prayer is the primary way that God communicates with us. Prayer also works as kind of a spiritual primer, if you will, for our day. It puts us in the spiritual state of mind, and it helps us see and seize those God-given opportunities that we each have every day if we just slow down enough to see them. Don't forsake your time in prayer. Sometimes people tell me, well, my prayer time, I start to pray and my prayer time turns into nap time pretty quickly. My answer is, maybe pray standing up. You can't sleep standing up generally. Or maybe, it feels like I can. I know, some people can sleep at any time. But maybe you don't close your eyes when you pray and leave your eyes open and you stand up. Some people say, well, my mind wanders when I pray. Maybe a solution would be to write your prayers or to type out your prayers. That's what I do with my prayers. I write them. I journal them. Because that helps me keep focused, because it's engaging more than one sense. Because I'm a wanderer in my mind. I have ADHD and it comes out sometimes in the strangest ways. But when I pray, if I'm not focused and I'm not writing it at the same time, I often get distracted and go on those little rabbit trails. And I'm like, how am I thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner on Tuesday when I was just praying about this person here? And you know, you just get back and you come back. God's not mad at me for doing that. And God's not mad at you for how your brain works. You just come back. And it's okay. It's okay to have your mind wander and bring it back. It's okay, I promise you. God's not angry with you. Some people say they don't have time to pray during the day. How many of you shower every day? No one's raising their hand. That's a little scary. Okay. We'll have smelly church. Okay? You have time every day in the shower that you could pray. We all spend some time in the restroom each day, right? We could pray. Then that you have time by yourself, hopefully, at that time. Unless you have little kids, sometimes maybe not. But the point is, we all have time during the day when we're alone. We just need to be serious about setting aside time to pray. Daniel prayed even when it got him thrown into the lion's den. How many of us are willing to pray even if it gets us thrown into the lion's den? Courageous Christ followers, what do? Pray. If you want to be a courageous Christ follower, you need to pray. Will you pray with me now? God, our Father, I thank you that we can come to you with everything in our lives. I pray that you care about us that much, that you want to have a conversation with us, that you want us to bring to you everything in our lives. God, I pray that you would give us all the desire and the urging by your Spirit to spend time with you each day in prayer, so that we may become more like you and your Son, so that we may see those spiritual encounters that we could be having if we just slowed down enough to see the world through your eyes. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that you would give us those eyes to see, those ears to hear, and those words to speak, so that we might choose to follow you and choose to pray each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.